take a dump.
No, I can't say that.
There's entire websites dedicated to this phenomenon. I have
I've never heard of this phenomenon. I would. Wow.
Oh, cool. He's got a little gun.
Jim's got a gun.
I've actually,
Red tool. Oh, so he's got a huge tool.
He's a DC version of Deadpool.
Ooh, no microphone?
I can't find it. I misplaced it.
My god.
But this microphone works okay.
Does it?
Sorry.
Does it? It looks so awkward. There's just a giant computer sitting in the middle of the table. I feel like I'm talking directly to the keyboard.
Hi there!
Hi, computer keyboard!
Beep, beep, boop, boop.
Computer.
Well, transparent aluminum.
A keyboard? How quaint!
Oh, dude, I'm so glad we started off on a Star Trek joke, because Tony Todd has said that he's on the short list for the new Star Trek show that they're doing. Yeah! Tony Todd played everybody on all kinds of Star Trek episodes, man. He was Kern, Worf's brother.
Played Erosion?
He played Erosion. He played older little boy.
Andrew?
Jake. Yeah, old Sisko. Jake Sisko. That's right.
Apparently, they're also there's
Alexander.
Some backing for Angela Bassett to be the new captain of the, whatever the name is.
Really?
What?
I haven't heard that at all. That
I don't know if there's like official talk.
It's just people trying to get a petition.
Yeah, people trying to like
Deadpool on Saturday Night Live.
Is this going to be a CBS show?
But apparently, she is a favorite.
I would watch Saturday Night Live. They did
Cookie Monster
as a host.
It's a CBS show. On TV for the premiere, then it goes on to their CBS.
Is it on TV for the premiere?
Yeah.
See, I didn't hear that either.
Yes. It's going to show. It's
it
premiere.
Better be good if it's trying to sell an entire paid experience to people. It better be damn good.
I just
want
it to be
Exactly. I just want them exploring, maybe getting into a tussle, but figuring it out. Science and diplomacy.
And sometimes sexual relations.
All they really have to do to sell their online service, say, $5 a month will let you unlimitedly stream every episode of Star Trek, period.
You can already do
that. Netflix is already on Netflix.
Yeah. But no, CBS can still do it themselves.
Well, they could definitely
also
stream it.
That's what their service is now. Every CBS show and every movie based off those shows. So it's like every MacGyver, every Star Trek.
And not all of the movies are streamable at this moment.
They're doing a new MacGyver.
I heard
MacGyver.
About that too.
That's coming out.
Richard Dean Anderson? Or
So here's the problem with MacGyver nowadays. You can't do it.
What do you mean?
Well, of course not.
Because he has a cell phone. I can Wikipedia it really quick.
First of all, it was legitimately the things that he would do back then would work. I mean,
that would be terrorism.
Right. You can't tell people how to make that stuff nowadays, because people will do it.
No, I'm going to take a Coke bottle, some rocks,
in general,
and a tissue, and I will make... No.
I'm going to take this, and... Mr. Ingredient X!
Perfectly honest.
It's supposed to be a prequel, not a sequel.
Who gives a shit?
Hey! Yeah. It's like the Anarchist Cookbook.
It's
like
a continuity
sense. Kind of give you the
ingredients. Do the stuff
in the wrong proportions.
It's in the past.
That's a good point.
I feel like MacGyver, let's be perfectly honest, it was never the most brilliant show on television in the first place.
No, he was
there were times.
He was almost like a blue-collar...
Not necessarily a bad show.
He's almost like a blue-collar genius.
It was
like
brain,
a hands-on...
It was brains over brutality.
Like every episode
he didn't have a gun.
He
was like a no-fighting version of Batman.
He was a Swiss Army.
I don't need a utility belt.
He was the Doctor Who with a mullet.
Yeah, right? I like the mullet.
Neither one of those are very
like a life hack. He's Batman without fighting. He's Doctor Who with a mullet.
That's so true.
And it was sponsored by 3M's duct tape.
Dude, at one point,
he's Sherlock Holmes who has to pay child.
Dude, that's exactly what
Sherlock
he is.
No, Sherlock Holmes without the coke habit.
One time
I thought it was opium or laudanum.
It's all sorts of shit. It was heroin, really. But
one time he defused a bomb with a pair of hockey tickets.
Yeah, he did.
Good for him.
Yeah, which shows two things. MacGyver's really cool. And yeah, I used to watch MacGyver, and I watched every damn episode. So yeah, I'm excited about that, dude. It'll probably suck, but yeah. I don't care.
And well, speaking of odd things for the alternative TV shows, they're making Rush Hour now. I saw the commercial for it yesterday.
Really?
Yeah. Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker movies. Yeah, they're making it into a TV
Who's
show.
Who's in this? Do you know?
No one I recognize.
Oh, okay.
If it's not Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker, it's really not going to be that good.
What about that one show, Limitless, that like had like Bradley Cooper show up from time to time?
That's kind of interesting in the sense that like that is sort of a direct sequel in TV show form.
I'm against that show. It says drugs are good, and if you take drugs, you'd be better.
And also that Bradley Cooper
I hate that.
I gotta say one thing. That's what it is, man.
Limitless is just a ploy by the big pharma. Yep. To push medicine. Yep.
Better living through chemicals.
What? Limitless?
We're talking about drugs and memory loss. MacGyver, Star Trek, Rush Hour.
Oh, yeah, the Rush Hour. So I guess the main thing of Rush Hour was the chemistry between the two leads.
Yeah.
And that don't really have to be an important aspect of the new thing.
You know, like any other Jackie Chan movie, you go to watch Jackie Chan beat the shit out of someone with, like...
With a chair.
I watched Jackie Chan perform his own stunts and then hide the fact that he injured himself when he performed his own stunts.
Yep. Yeah.
How much he can he get away with? Like, you know, I'm going to water ski down, chasing this hovercraft.
Is that a knock? Because that's more impressive, I think. Yeah, he injured himself and he still kept doing it.
Exactly.
So the question is, are they going to be able to find somebody with that kind of, a pair with that kind of
dude,
chemistry?
Dude, of course, all people from Asia can do that shit.
That's not what he said.
Yeah, I'm not.
It's going to be hard to find.
I'm just kidding.
Guys.
I agree.
That comedic chemistry.
Right.
Yeah, I think the action part is pretty important too.
Well, right,
being able to do the martial arts and shit, that's an important deal, man.
That is more common. It is easier to teach a group of people martial arts
to dance. It's basically what
you can choreograph fight scenes. You can't teach natural chemistry.
True.
Well, we'll see.
Very, very true.
We'll see. I won't watch it, but we'll see if it gets to a second season, then I'll know if it was good or not.
So Red Bull has an orange flavor.
They've done like 4,000 seasons.
Don't they have like other flavors? Like cherry
they
and
do,
and
but this one came out that is Friday.
Recently then.
Yes.
What is orange edition?
Orange edition.
Orange
so are we going to like test it here today?
I figured we could.
I don't like Red Bull.
I'm good.
I don't like Red Bull.
I'll take a sip.
I like my intestines.
I have natural energy, so I don't really need an energy drink.
I'm not really a fan
of energy drinks, you know? I prefer old school energy drinks.
It has a nice aroma. Okay, are you sommeliering the damn Red Bull, man?
Swish it around and spit it out so you don't get too hyper.
Yeah.
You don't want to be freaking out by the end of the show.
It has a very citrusy aroma.
It's a full bodied afterbirth.
Definitely is citrusy.
So, should we do intros or?
Intros? If you don't know who we are by now,
I'm your host, Lawrence of America.
I'm Substitute Jules.
Okay. I'm Taylor.
Jules Part 2.
RSD.
Adam.
I'm Miguel 24.
I'm going to say I'm Power Gomer.
Power Gomer.
Like Power Man.
But. You should never have an adjective of, like, power associated with you.
It's in the hair. It's all in the hair.
You're irredeemable works because you are irredeemable. There's nothing powerful about you.
What does irredeemable really mean? Shameless, no excuse for?
Well, just that, like, the things you've done, there's no making up for them.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah, I am the irredeemable gomer. I can't. That's good or bad, though, right?
Oh, man.
Is there a good version of irredeemable?
Not really. Incorruptible?
There you go. Is that a book, isn't it?
Actually, okay, I don't like any of the other colors. Thank you for teaching us grammar.
Sweet.
Some vocab.
Yeah, not only did he write one of the greatest Elseworlds titles of all time.
Definitely
maybe one of the greatest comics of all time.
Right, it doesn't have that piss color.
Thank you.
He's a Renaissance man.
He's writing a lot of great shit.
He's still writing.
He's still writing some good shit.
He's on all new, all different Avengers, isn't he?
Yeah, I think it's less of an aftertaste than their other cranberry and blueberry.
What are we doing here? Are we trying soft drinks?
Yep. We just tried the one. Tastes like Fanta.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess I'm not giving it a big flowery description like David was, but yeah, it tastes like Fanta.
Yeah, but it's got the aftertaste.
That's the only reason I don't like the colored drink, Red Bulls, is the aftertaste.
Maybe I'll be bouncing off.
This has less of it.
That is the one unappealing thing about Red Bull is the color of it.
You know, I like regular Red Bull. I like the taste of Red Bull,
but I just don't like the after effect. You're getting all hyper.
I think I'm going to get a problem. Like, normally, I don't really get the taste of Red Bull. This masks it pretty well.
It does have a very citrusy taste to it.
Red Bull, when you want to drink a battery.
This one doesn't taste quite as battery-acid.
But it still tastes a bit like battery.
You want to taste it?
No!
It does taste like Fanta. I don't even taste this acid.
Remember Josta?
I'm good. Josta?
Yeah.
Isn't that Vision's ex-old lady?
No, like...
That's Jocasta.
Josta from, like, back in the day, like, you know, precursors to, like, energy drinks.
No. Man. Coffee?
And, like, Surge. I've heard of Surge.
Because
now, like, you can buy Surge.
Dude, the original energy drink was Jolt Cola, okay? Yeah. And I drank the hell out of that shit before they outlawed it because kids were dying.
Those bastards were drinking way too many of them like idiots.
Well, it happens now with energy drinks. You hear kids getting sick.
There was some guy at work.
You're not supposed to give yourself Red Bull enemas, okay, guys? All the young people out there.
You should be an energy beer.
Yeah, exactly. Didn't that lady a few years ago die of drinking water?
Yeah.
From the Wii U.
Well, she tried it. Well, it wasn't necessarily the drinking the water thing. It was the holding in her urine for too long.
Oh, that's right. But you can get water. That'll happen if you drink Red Bull and hold it in too.
Yeah.
You'll
die.
Well, I mean, like if you drink like a whole gallon of milk in an hour, that's gonna make.
Well, I thought the body.
But the thing is that milk is a protein.
Well, more just like your stomach can't digest milk that quickly, and your stomach can't hold that much at one time.
And it'll burst your stomach, and then you'll die. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's, milk is a protein compared to like you know water.
Yeah. Sure.
Anyway.
But I thought the body would automatically open up. Like, it wouldn't let you die from not taking a leak.
Here's some comic book
related things to talk about. We're talking about science.
Well, here's some comic movie news.
Yeah.
We're starting to see some of the fallout from Deadpool. Deadpool, if you don't know by now, was just a massive success. Best R rating opening of all time. Like, 17th best overall.
Something like that, surpassing the price now.
It's another important milestone in the comic book movie releases.
In the evolution of comic book movies.
Yes, you can do the dirty R-rated things. The lesson the movie studios seem to have learned from this is that people want more R-rated comic book movies. Which... can be good or bad.
Well, we'll see.
So far they've said that Wolverine is going to be R-rated.
Well, they've also come out and said Wolverine was always going to make it R.
They're lying.
I think Superman will be R-rated.
Well, that's the thing that I want to talk about.
That's the problem.
Yeah. I don't think that's the problem.
Wolverine is entirely appropriate to be R-rated.
Wolverine, he's a guy who cuts people up with claws.
Yeah.
Sure.
Superman should not be R-rated.
Superman should never be. But Batman could be.
Batman maybe, but not.
This is my thing with that. They've said that they're making an R-rated version for home release.
Yes, we should clarify.
Giving the audience choices, options, is never a bad thing, good or bad. Good or bad.
Choice aspect, sure, but I don't think that's a good choice for that particular movie.
I don't think it's going to be a good... Although, people's rights, whatever.
But
sure, sure.
I don't think that thematically it's a wise choice to
I think it speaks less to that and more to what the overall tone of the movie is actually going to be. If they can change it just by a little bit on the home release... to get it to an R rating, it's going to be a pretty brutal and dark movie.
My question is, what would happen in the movie to make it
an R? Swearing, a lot more violence.
It would have to be swearing.
Well, if you hold a punch, a scene of a punch for just a few more seconds, or even a few more moments, you can either get the punch or get the moment just before the punch. You know, so they can change it a lot without changing punching much.
Punching is not going to make the R rating.
It depends on how much gore and stuff.
It has to be like Superman like punching someone so hard their head explodes.
Well, Batman is throwing people through freaking all kinds of stuff in the trailer. So maybe it's Batman who's punching through people in his super suit. Nudity. Who's going to be nude in it?
Violence is fine.
But who's going to be nude?
To an extent.
Considering that the only female characters in it are Amy Adams and Wonder Woman, I doubt.
And if it's just some throwaway extra who's nude, that's cheap as hell, and they should not do that.
If it's cheap bullshit that would have made it the R rating, then okay. But like, it's worth mentioning that they probably. It's not like they're going back and filming new crap.
Sure.
They're cutting away stuff from an hour from a movie that, when it's cut down, it's going to be 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
So it's stuff that could have and should have been cut.
This
out
feels
anyway.
More like a director's cut to me.
Right.
And it would have been the Deadpool effect is still in play. Because I don't think this would have been announced, and I think they would have said, hey, we're putting out a director's cut, too, once it's been released and once they're ready for the Blu-ray release. But now with the Deadpool effect, they're like, oh, hey, by the way,
they're going to be rated R,
you big kids are going to like this.
We're not even concerned about the movie in the theater. We're concerned about the movie sales on DVD.
Yeah, I think what the fear that we share is that we don't want to see this trend of them
let's make all of them R-rated.
But they're releasing an R-rated version. Unless they're James releasing it in theaters, it's not really R-rated. Yeah.
James Gunn had a good summary of this.
They're
about
taking
how,
the wrong lesson out.
Deadpool was good not because it was R-rated, but because an R-rating was appropriate for Deadpool.
The source is R-rated.
Yes.
Yes, it fits. Suicide Squad, be R-rated.
I didn't like Deadpool because of all the titties and gore. I liked Deadpool because it was a good movie.
Because it was a good from the source material.
And it was appropriate for that character.
Exactly.
If you did like Deadpool for all the titties and gore, check out a book called Crossed.
Part of the R-rating for Deadpool came
full of titties and gore.
That's all it is.
When he was all burnt or screwed up, and that's
a lot of
nudity
and a lot of cussing.
Honestly, you're splitting hairs when you try to figure out how the MPAA figures out what is what.
It's whatever they feel like.
And I don't think that's the point you should take away from Deadpool. The point that should be taken away from Deadpool is you don't have to dumb down a character just to get him on the screen because he's cool.
That's a good point.
And Wolverine, that's happened to him.
Oh, yeah, big time.
This is not the Wolverine from the comics that we're seeing. I think the Wolverine from the comics is a lot more exciting, a lot better.
Honestly, one of the... It's been too reason for me to say it's like one of the best comic movies I've ever seen. It is one of the best. And
it's one of the best comic adaptations.
One of the best translations from comic to screen.
Watchmen. 300 even, it's really close.
Those are pretty solid, but
Sin City, as far as characters
go, I'm going to put Deadpool up there with Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man in terms of, they really embody
nailed
that
it, yes. Yeah.
Right.
I think it leads to the passion of everyone involved, the writers, the directors, Ryan Reynolds himself, who always got shit on back in the day.
It was a passion project.
Yeah.
Well, like, Ryan Reynolds is...
He used to get crapped on
big time. He's a Deadpool fan.
Yeah.
He wanted to make a Deadpool movie. It's largely because he and a small group of other people wouldn't give up on this.
Yeah.
It was a huge
success. He was a producer.
I know they said in one of the stories I read that him and the other couple of producers that did it, they're going to make massive bank.
On
the second movie, they will.
This, in my opinion, is the lesson we should take away from Deadpool.
Well, opening weekend doubled their production cost.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, but this is the lesson I think we should take away from Deadpool. And I think it's the lesson of Guardians of the Galaxy with James Gunn. If you get a passionate group of people working on a project, they will make it work and it will be right.
Right.
And it will be awesome, and it will be a success.
If the quality is there, the fans will come.
I think the opposite of this is what we're seeing at DC on a lot of
Here's the lesson I've learned.
We always transition it somehow into shitting on DC Cinematic Universe.
I enjoy doing it.
You got to remember, this is not Disney Marvel. This is Fox Marvel. So
sure.
They'll get about halfway through Deadpool 2, and it's going to be canceled.
Well,
that is a good point.
I don't know. I don't like it.
Deadpool's made more movie than any of their other X-Men movies.
Yeah, Deadpool right now.
Fox kills.
Oh, yeah, but
if Marvel has proven that they have their shit together, that we can trust them as a studio, Fox still hasn't done that. Mixed bag, even with
Deadpool. Will become the focus of their X-Men.
Exactly.
Well, they got another one in the win column, but
they've got a lot of their new Wolverine.
Agreed.
Right, but
they are moving in the right direction with Wolverine. An X-Force, a Cable being in the next Deadpool movie, all great directions.
Yeah. You know what? I want to see Natalie Portman as fucking Cable.
Kieran Knightley.
Oh, what did I say? Natalie Portman. My bad.
They can be interchanged in most cases.
My bad. Okay, so
they were interchanged in episode one.
Thank you.
But Kieran Knightley, someone did a Photoshop of her.
She looks great.
It looks pretty good.
Look it up. It does look great. I wouldn't mind a twist like that. Some sort of cool twist.
Or maybe they like do like some thing where like there's some sort of like time paradox going on. And they both get gender bent.
Dude, sure. Sure.
And like, I guess you could be anyone that is Deadpool because she'd be in her mask anyway.
All right, let's flip the script on Deadpool being R. Because Marvel Studios is owned by the mouse. They can't really follow that direction, can they?
Should they?
They don't need to.
Except for the Punisher, I can't really think of any of their characters that should be R-rated.
Daredevil and Jessica Jones.
Are they R-rated?
Exactly. That's a great direction they are taking.
They, I think, have wisely put the characters who are more hard-boiled on Netflix.
Not to say that you couldn't have a hard-boiled Black Widow or something like that.
You can do hard-boiled Black Widow.
Or Hawkeye if you go in the right direction.
They could.
They're the ones to get. They shouldn't now.
They fit well into what they've already been doing. Right,
exactly.
You know, wants to reach the widest audience with the movies.
Yes.
And so, you know, when you got the niche characters like Jessica Jones, Daredevil, Punisher, they can do those things on Netflix.
I don't view the Marvel movies as somehow deficient now that they've seen R-rated work.
Exactly.
They work for what they are. There's nothing wrong with being PG-13.
No, not at all.
If
not at all.
If your source material requires you to be PG-13, then there's nothing wrong with it.
Sure.
You like should Superman.
But that's the other
Superman
point I think we're getting. That's the other point I think we're getting at.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Have we been cut out? No.
I think the other point we're getting at is DC doing things that may not be in their best interest as far as, like you said, taking Superman, whose Marvel counterpart would be Captain America, and sort of flipping the script on him and turning him into sort of a villain almost in this upcoming movie. Making it dark. It's weird, dude. It's almost like they are moving in that.
Here's one way
in that harder boiled.
Well, what's the thing people bitch and complain about Man of Steel? The thing they bitch and complain about is that wow, that really wasn't very Superman. Right.
Exactly.
There is one way they
could
do it though. They did
let like a million people die, broke someone's neck.
Would that work?
If they did what?
Injustice Gods?
No. You can't do Injustice.
No, I don't. You know,
it's funny. People are.
It's a pretty solid video game, but let's not make that into something bigger than it is.
Well, I never played. That's why I thought they were kind of the evil versions of themselves.
Well, you could do.
Injustice. I'll explain Injustice. In Injustice Gods Among Us, something happens to where, and I don't want to spoil it.
Go ahead. It's like 4 years old.
What happens to Superman? Lois Lane gets
killed. Lois Lane gets killed by the Joker.
No. Lois Lane gets killed by Superman.
Oh.
Lois Lane
gets
killed by
Superman. That's right. That's exactly right.
Is it part of,
like,
the Joker's machinations, though?
Yeah, the Joker, poisons him with, like, it's like scarecrow gas or something.
And Superman goes dictator on everybody.
Right. Well, he's killed the Joker in retribution, and he's like, well, fuck this
He thinks Lois Lane is Doomsday, and he goes, you know, to fight Doomsday, except it's Lois Lane. So.
He's like, wow, that was easy.
It was probably a big tip-off, when like he turns Doomsday into a bloody smear by just flexing his muscle.
But they don't turn evil or nothing like that.
No, but they all do sort of. Superman becomes a dictator, and then people choose sides.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Hal Jordan actually gets a yellow ring in that, which is pretty interesting.
That's why I was wondering if maybe they could. That would just be saying, a way for
Hal Jordan's
DC
a ring
to
poor.
Go
he
to
gets
a
all
yeah, he really
one
does. He really
squad.
Does.
Yeah, but Suicide Squad retroactively might have worked as an R-rated movie.
Definitely
would
have.
Suicide Squad,
when they've already come out and said that, so you don't expect an R-rated cut of Suicide Squad.
No, because it's already cut.
Right.
They're done.
Well, it's coming out in, August? 4 or 5 months?
Yeah.
Not even. I don't think.
Well, like,
soonish.
Well, Batman v Superman comes out, like, next month?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the end of next month. I thought it was, like, June.
No.
Them announcing an R-rated version.
Not a great sign for DC that I forgot when that movie was going to come out.
Because they're already working on the
It's also just FYI, not a great sign for DC that they advertised it on every book that came out this month, and you still forgot.
Oh, wow, that's true.
The same weekend that Batman vs. Superman.
Pick up a lot of DC books, did you?
The same weekend that Batman vs. Superman is coming out is the same weekend they're announcing the creative teams for their new slate of titles, relaunch
titles,
as far as Rebirth.
Here's their chance to win me back. I want to see these creative teams.
Let's talk about Rebirth.
Yeah, okay, so...
Rebirth comes from Jeff Johns' runs on both Green Lantern Rebirth and Flash Rebirth, which were excellent.
On our
if the rest of the relaunch takes
message,
that tone...
Man, you guys had, like, one that was, like, 70-something messages long, and I'm like, there's no way I'm ever going to hear the end of this. So, Talk to me now. What's going on with
Rebirth?
Yes.
Oh, they're relaunching
Rebirth. I know they're relaunching. Okay. And that is, they've gone out and clarified it's not a reboot.
It's a soft reboot.
Yeah, it's kind of like what Marvel does.
Yeah, it's like what Marvel does.
If you read Green Lantern Rebirth or Flash Rebirth, those technically weren't reboots either.
No.
What they did was they drilled down to the core of these characters and showed you who they were.
And tried to convince us desperately that Barry Allen is cooler than Wally West.
They did not succeed in that case. They did not. But Green Lantern Rebirth...
Hal Jordan, though. Hal Jordan, yeah, that one worked great.
The Green Lantern Rebirth...
Well, that's because they didn't axe Kyle Rayner.
Sure. No, they didn't. I don't want to talk about Flash. Come on, guys. All right. I know you guys will go on forever about fucking Flash. Anyway, well, the Green Lantern Rebirth and Hal Jordan, it revitalized that character.
It did.
Geoff Johns' continuing run on Green Lantern brought in the Rainbow Corps, you know, Sinestro Corps War. It was a lot of good stuff. Blackest Night.
A pretty epic run with the character.
Epic. If that they can follow suit, although my big problem is, if they can follow suit with Rebirth, it'll be great. But the problem is Geoff Johns can't write everything.
That's true.
If he could, they'd be selling more books now.
He should write more, though. He's only writing one book
right
now.
He is really working on the TV stuff.
I know. He needs
to... And that's rocking, too. That's kicking ass, too. Everything that man touches turns to gold as long as it's got a cape on it.
Now, are they going to follow his storylines into the Rebirth?
Is that the hope? As far as I can tell, the way they're stating it to everyone, they're really, really pushing Rebirth. And they're really lending that back, going back to Geoff Johns' run on Rebirth, and they want to capture that feel for all the books.
They need to get some good creators on there. Encouraging news, they have exclusivity with Tom King now.
Yes, and I found out Vision was only supposed to go 12 issues anyway. So that's good. I feel good about that. We're going to get all of 12 issues of Vision, the whole story.
Yeah.
And Mark Silvestri on that with him.
As soon as they get the trade out for Omega Man, I'll have to check that out. It's the highestly recommended.
It is very.
It is actually.
I had that on back order.
I'm actually glad he recommended it.
But yeah. So what are we going
to
do?
Who could they get? Who's available for them to... What big names are out there? I feel like they've burned bridges with like people like Jeff Lemire.
Yeah. There are definitely still people working at Marvel who are not exclusive at Marvel.
Could they get Hickman?
Yes.
That would be a big move.
We would get our Legion book, and I would become the biggest DC fan you've ever seen. I would be going to the mountains and yelling, buy this book. Before it comes out. But, yes, if they could get Jonathan Hickman pulled over there, it would be huge. If they could get him on three books.
He should write an Authority book.
It would be okay for him on Authority. I want him on two Green Lantern books and a Legion book.
Is it bad? I honestly want him on Justice League. Let him handle the other marquee flagship.
Oh, my gosh. Dude, you just blew my mind. Well, give him JLA and JSA together and just watch Marvel's numbers just drop. Because everybody would be reading that. Dude, the banter he would write between Batman and Superman, I just want to go to sleep right now and dream about it, because holy crap. But who else would they get? Joshua Williamson, they could get him. It's hard to look.
They couldn't get Bendis, they couldn't get Jason Aaron, couldn't get...
Are there up-and-comers?
I think Mark Waid, I think they...
No, they couldn't get Mark Waid. Yeah.
They could get Mark
Waid. Are they going to
Waid's
give...
I don't think he is, but I think...
Are they
going
to give any of the flagship titles to anybody they don't?
Again, that gets back to the crux of the issue is...
Nobody knows.
If they can get some big names, are they going to be able to keep them?
They don't treat talent very well.
They're getting notorious, yes, for alienating talented writers.
And talent sells.
And... Are they going to give the flagship titles to anybody they don't sign to an exclusive?
If they're smart, they will. But this is DC.
They don't sign a lot of exclusives. But this new trend does show that maybe the Tom King, whatever, signing is pointing toward in a direction where... Well, I'm sorry, if Tom King on Batman is the biggest news that's going to come out of it...
Then what's it worth?
I mean, that's going to be a great book. But yeah, I was buying Batman anyway, and it sucked for 20 issues. You know?
I did jump off during Zero Year. See? I need to go back and check out things like Endgame and things like that. But
it wasn't good. It was okay.
Okay.
And that just about sums it up, I guess.
Yeah. Just okay. We used to shoot for pretty good.
That'll do, Pig. That'll do.
Well, apparently I need to go back and check out some Justice League with Darkseid War and everything.
Yeah,
Darkseid War is the only good storyline, though.
See, okay. So, yeah, I jumped off after,
Dude, way before all the Trinity War and crap.
Okay, yeah, that's when I jumped off. No, that's right. I jumped off.
Was it then, or was it before that?
Trinity War, when the big reveal is, oh, it's the Crime Syndicate. I'm like, I've read this fucking story before.
I like the Crime Syndicate, though, and they may be coming back as a big part of something.
Okay, but see, like, I wasn't necessarily against it as much as I was just, I was nonplussed by the big reveal after that. And also that the fact that Trinity War was in no way
a Trinity War. It was a bait and switch.
You were looking for the Trinity, and really what Trinity meant was just...
It wasn't much of a war.
Lowercase t. It was just three things hanging out together.
But it should have been named Series of Petty Disagreements.
Yeah, over something we're not really sure we understand.
Superman Sick, maybe?
Yeah.
That's kind of a long title, but still.
Superman Sick, maybe? Subtitle.
Justice League. Superman Sick, maybe?
Yeah.
Honestly,
I would buy a book. I would buy the first issue. I would buy the first issue at least, just to see what's up. What else are we going to talk about, Pete?
Yeah, I couldn't even see the cover of that. Yeah, Superman Sick, maybe.
He's got like a thermometer in his mouth in a bed.
No.
That's what you're talking about.
He's got a trash can right there. Yeah.
He's not sure if he's.
And he's saying, I feel okay. And one of them's like, no, dude, you look terrible.
I got a bit of a runny nose, but maybe it's like super sinuses.
It's just the sniffles.
Superman sneezes, half the building collapses.
Okay, well, that's a famous image from the Silver Age, back when Superman was, you know, God. That you know, he sneezes and destroys a solar system.
Yeah.
Well, there's some news. Pacific Rim 2 is back on.
Del Toro. It says
Larry
about that, but the guy directing it.
It was the dude who was a showrunner for Daredevil.
Yeah.
He directed a lot of Daredevil episodes.
Del Toro is giving him a big
and
seal approval.
Oh, dude. This is one of Larry's favorite franchises. He loved the first one. Larry.
Oh, fuck you, Larry.
No, I did.
Pacific Rim was like...
It was just down and dirty big robot fun.
I was very pleasantly surprised by how not stupid it was. I went in there to watch Gundam's Punch Godzilla.
There was some stupid.
But it also wasn't.
My inner 9-year-old was cheering when they hit him with the ship.
Yeah. Well, for the most part, it was coherent. Yeah. It made sense. Right. The only big complaint I have is the dudes, like, the two nerd guys are running to tell them the drastic news. They had fucking phones. Why are they running?
Yeah.
Well, the only thing I could think of
that's really the only complaint.
I couldn't call you.
EMP hit.
I couldn't call you.
I
had to run. My favorite part of that movie was Rocket Elbows.
Yeah.
When the robots had rockets on their elbows, and they would punch things.
Well, they understood that. Yeah, we want to see.
My complaint about the movie is the fact that
it rained
all
the
important scenes. They blurred the special effects with rain.
Then you should email the new director.
They kind of gave it a
dark,
a mystique to it.
Thing.
They did it to cheapen the special effects.
Well, it was a lower budget film,
right,
though.
Right. I mean, the main...
We shouldn't expect that from Del Toro.
You gotta make them ends meet, dog.
We shouldn't expect that kind of thing from Del Toro.
The main thing you go to see in the movie is a robot fight
a
monster.
Yeah.
They should do that.
They should
thing right.
They should build that. They should build
And they look stupid, if we're being perfectly honest.
They should build giant fighting robots.
That's the point.
Well, there's actually.
And yeah, that's fine for Godzilla, but that's not what Pacific Rim was trying to do.
Yeah,
I saw a guy do something like that. More of an exo-squad thing. You can rent them now. They shoot tennis balls.
There was one major problem with the movie I found in the storyline.
What?
Makio, I think is how you say your name.
Mako.
Mako rebuilt Gypsy Danger, right? So she knew the swords were in there and all this other stuff, right?
Okay. She was aware. She was the one who said, like, hey, let's get him with a sword at the end.
She rebuilt it. She rebuilt it.
Yeah.
All right. She was head of the project.
Sure.
And then Yancy, or whatever his name is, the guy.
The dude. The guy on the motorcycle in that one show.
When you drift together, you see inside each other's heads, right?
Why
didn't he know that those were there?
I don't think that was a thing.
They shared
memories.
They were aware. It's not like he was ignorant of the swords. They never made it seem like that was the
It's not like you become omniscient with
he
each
said
other.
We should
like,
have
you
let
know
him
every
one of the same.
I don't think it's...
I know
it's
that was the
password.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think it's like you learn each other's email passwords.
He was not surprised by the swords.
You just sort of, you know...
I know what you did.
share a memory that allows your brain on a subconscious level
again,
to work together.
The premise is off here because he was not surprised by the swords. He knew they were there.
I'm not.
You could argue
sure.
that, yes, they should have been using them the whole time. But
that was more practical. Yeah. To that's the most effective weapon they have.
Dude, you had to have the sword for the big
Have the gun, sure, but like I feel like the sword, like instead of punching, you should probably go.
I mean, really, let's face it. This is giant robots fighting monsters. Should we be reading this deep into it?
I mean, again, that was what I led with. It's Gundam's punching Godzilla, and it wasn't really that stupid.
Yeah, but you should know your weapon systems.
They did.
I can agree to disagree with the weapon system thing.
That's my thing.
If that's the only beef,
that's a great movie.
That's
the only beef I had with it. Come on.
That is a great movie.
Idris Elba's apocalypse speech is like up there.
We've had these.
It's up there with the Independence Day speeches in the rankings of cheesy but really awesome speeches.
Dude, I still get that same
thing. The council! The apocalypse!
I love
Idris Elba.
I love a good speech. I love a good speech. I love a good speech before we're going to kick some ass and you might die.
Four score and 7 years ago, I came here to kick ass.
That was after they fought a battle and everybody died.
Okay.
What else, guys?
Let's talk some stuff about previews that we've been.
I was looking at that a moment ago. I knew about Ms. Marvel and I knew about Iron Man. Or not Ms. Marvel, Captain Marvel and Iron Man.
Sure.
Is that Gamora? Is she a big part of this now?
I think She-Hulk. She's going to be a part of She-Hulk.
Oh yeah, that's She-Hulk.
Yeah. Let's talk good on DC and talk about previews. They're doing the Hanna-Barbera stuff. It's solicited this month. Let's talk about that.
The Scooby-Doo thing, I might actually pick that one.
Really? Yes. Really? Explain that to me.
I'm a fan of Scooby-Doo. I've always liked it. And this certainly does not look like any Scooby-Doo I've ever seen before, but it looks stupid enough that it might be entertainingly stupid.
Yeah. I just don't like Keith Giffen. I don't like his writing.
It's like Scooby-Doo Fallout.
If they don't take themselves too seriously with this, it could be an enjoyable read.
Well, it's Scooby-Doo. It can't really take... I mean, you think it's going to be like, all right, Scoob, lock and load. I'm serious.
I tell you that...
It better not be.
With the Hanna-Barbarian, I actually would like
Hanna-Barbarian.
Future Quest. I want Herculoids, man.
That does look great.
TV shows when I was a kid was watching the Herculoids.
It is
and
an amazing
Space Ghosts.
It is amazing. It is an amazing show.
Harvey Birdman.
I have no idea why it's cool. A triceratops that blows pebbles out of its face should not be cool. Dude, it looks like a freaking triceratops.
It's a space rhino.
It's a space rhino.
It's a space rhino with an airsoft cannon.
It's like sentient jello running around.
Exactly.
What does the gorilla do?
Leap and gloop or whatever the name is.
He just beats the hell out of shit, doesn't he?
The muscle.
Isn't that what he does?
Yeah, he's the muscle.
Gloop and Gleep are like a boy in his blob back in the day. Remember that game? You feed a dude a grape jelly bean, he turned into like a helicopter or some shit. Remember that game? So hard.
Form of a bucket of water.
Because they didn't tell you what the jelly beans did. Sometimes you'd only get one. You'd be like, I'm going to find out what this did. Oh, this is what you need to get to the very last level.
Sensu bean.
You only get one of
the jelly beans. You ever play that game, Boy in His Blob?
Oh, no. Back in 1989.
That game literally came out before you were born.
It was wonderful. But yeah, Future Quest, I'm stoked.
The only one I don't see.
It was the puzzle game. Yes.
I've heard of it. It does look kind of cool. I didn't realize the one beat.
Platform puzzle, whatever the jelly beans would turn him into different objects.
It's a good example of minimalist but very effective character design.
Future
Quest worries me because everybody is in there. Let's not leave the DC Hanna-Barbera stuff.
Not yet.
I'm worried that they're mixing everyone together into the same sort of story. Or is it going to be vignettes, little 4 or 5
pages?
They
got to save the universe.
I don't know if that's going to be good.
It's a Hanna-Barbera multiverse.
Yeah,
couldn't Johnny Quest do his own book?
It's
Hanna-Barbera
do his own book.
No, Hanna-Barbera, all his whole thing is making teams of Avengers or Fantastic Four or whatever. Now he's taking 3 Avengers teams and an FF team and slapping them all together.
Look, man, I don't think...
It's a super group.
The continuity of these properties
I'm worried about the continuity.
Okay.
I'm just waiting for
my Johnny
Quest
fucking
to show up.
My Johnny Quest was a lot older than this one too.
I'm waiting to watch the revamped Johnny Quest.
That's the one I remember.
Hanna-Barbera
had the original.
Oh, it was
as a guy who blew up. on the original.
Hanna-Barbera had an Olympics where all their characters would come together.
Yeah, that was it.
They also all their characters come together to compete in sports events.
You know,
and you had talking cars.
You know what always bothered me about us?
Yeah, you had talking sharks.
Like, the bad guy in that was Dick Dastardly again, right? Yeah. You know what always bothered me about Dick Dastardly and the Wacky Racers show?
Oh,
if he would just fucking race, he would win by a landslide.
He's not trying to race, dude. He's trying to kill everybody.
He's way ahead of everyone else, stops, sets up an elaborate trap to cheat, and then when it fails, he gets back in his car, gets ahead of them again, and then fucking sets another
trap. It's nitrous. He's using his nitrous. It's like
he is clearly much, much better at racing than the other.
It's like in a race game where
he could just race, and he'd be like,
no, it's like in a race game when you need your nitrous
better
early.
Better at racing than setting traps.
Yes.
Very much so.
He should just stick to what he's good at. You know, maybe that's the moral of the story, right? Just if you just can be fairly good, do better.
If
the
last episode, you went so much like, effort. To cheat. I should have been doing this the whole time.
If you
time.
Go through so much effort to cheat and you don't get the results you want, maybe you should do it legitimately.
Yeah.
Before, I can just say I'm worried about the Hanna-Barbera DC books.
Okay, dude, this is a low stakes thing.
I want them to be great.
I'm holding my expectations down to amusing.
Dan, we used to shoot for pretty good.
Okay, this has nothing to do with DC.
No,
this has
I know,
to do with, like,
I know.
They're making
the characters.
It's fucking Johnny Quest teaming up with Space Ghost, man. Like, how high was your bar?
Dude, I'm hoping for some high morality tales here. If Blooper Gleep doesn't sacrifice himself in the first five issues
so basically
to save Hajib or whatever dude's name is, I'm done.
If Ray's Bannon and Dr. Quest
I
don't
want
make that love for each other.
Oh, yeah, we get, like, the slash fiction with Race and
Doctor. Yes. Don't admit their love for each other. I'll be really disappointed. Right. And that's some social issues we want to touch on right now.
Dude, what about Johnny and Haji, man? About that relationship.
Oh, dude, they should really explore that a little bit. I would love to read that.
I mean, clearly, I mean, Dr. Quest is at least bisexual because he fathered a child.
Yeah. Dude, they can do it in Archie.
He's a doctor.
They can do it here. I heard, what's his name from 90210 is going to be Archie's dad in the... In the Archie show?
Jason Priestley?
Yeah.
Really?
Jason Priestley? No, the other one. The cuter one. Luke who dated his sister.
Perry?
Yeah, Luke Perry. Luke Perry, the hotter one, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, Luke well, Perry is going to be...
And then they got that one dude, remember, Jake Donna, and then he punched Donna, the singer of that...
Yeah, the...
How do you talk to it? And he punched Donna, remember that shit? Oh my gosh, don't get me started on 90210, guys.
Really
we should do a podcast anymore. About 90210, watching old episodes of Beverly Hills 90210.
No,
it should not.
Not for me.
90210.
We'll call it the Peach Pit. Visits to the Peach Pit.
No.
Fuzz Buzz.
No veto on that.
All right, what's next? Let's get on to the
You
topic.
Underestimate our audience, man.
Oh, you want to jump to image real quick? We have an audience?
What?
I don't want to alienate Jules and whoever else is listening right
now. Wait a minute.
I download it, but I usually just listen to NPR.
Well, hello there, Wisconsin people. Send me some cheese.
Dude, do not do that.
No.
They will send cheese.
My wife probably will.
I like cheese.
I like cheese too, but
remember.
What kind of cheese you want?
It depends on how much
sharp cheddar.
Be
sure to address it to Imitation Jules.
I don't care.
Carol, Comic City 2.
About the sharp cheddar.
Oh yeah, we should just have
I'd
people like
fine
Sam
with Colby
Jules,
Jack as well. Or I'll settle for a nice surprise me.
Which
a nice Swiss.
Well, bit of an aside.
A Swiss. Okay.
We all had a little bit of fun ragging on Jules earlier on our message thread.
Yes, it was
Jules. As usual, we were ragging on him, and he said, "You know what? I'm going to snap, and this is going to be documentation of what went wrong before I started my world rampage."
Is he going to take me to court or something?
Well, Adam rightly pointed out that Jules is not competent enough to be a Doctor Doom level threat.
Yeah.
He's more stealth.
I saw that part too. I think I mentioned Pace Pot Pete in there.
You mentioned Pace Pot Pete.
And then traps. And then Adam
guys.
Like defended Pace Pot Pete, and then we started ragging on him. Like, what the hell are you doing? Like the Pace worst Spider-Man Pete. Villain ever.
That was like some of the best reading
I'm the
today.
Trapster now.
It's You're better than Pace Pot Pete.
Three P's.
What else is going on?
Image has got this Renetto Jones from Carrie Kyle Andrews.
I don't care what it is. It's Carrie Andrews. I'll read it.
Yeah, okay.
I don't care what it is. He's writing, drawing, and you'll notice he's got a big thing on the front. He says he's writing, drawing, producing,
and owning.
Yeah. Which goes into the whole one.
Red letters.
But the preview
it goes
for
along
it,
with the theme of the book, the one percenter sort of thing.
The preview of the preview that they show in.
In previews.
In previews, it's actually pretty good.
Wait, they have previews?
Yeah.
In the previews?
Well, like a two-page spread.
Wow, that's very meta. Am I using that term correctly?
Dude.
No, I mean, that's something you would expect.
Yo, dog, there's preview in your previews.
All right,
so you didn't like the exhibit thing?
He's got this first page here. Everything on the page, it's like it's moving. It's the panels are like jumping out. The characters are leaping out of the panels at you.
It's in 3D.
It's so good. Yes. It's such a man. He's great. I'm glad he's getting into creator-owned stuff. You know, because he's definitely got. Did you read his Iron Fist?
His Iron Fist is really good.
His Iron Fist was amazingly good.
That's the recent batch of Iron Fist?
Yes.
Yeah.
You should pick that up. I think it's only one trade, right? Maybe two.
It's two.
Okay.
Well,
yeah,
that's probably worth it. 12 issues. Okay, next time I have a slow week.
Oh,
man. I'm actually having a slow week this week. Maybe I'll check it out.
Booyah!
Is this Three Lloyds Alpha King?
That yeah, I saw the preview you put up today on outrightgeekery.com,
yeah.
And the art is really deep. I think
Brian Azzarello and Simon Bisley.
I think really up. I really think it's the inking and the colors on this art that I like the most.
Yeah,
I do like the inking.
It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And the detail in the panels, that garage panel with all those tools in the back, I love seeing stuff like that.
Detail.
I like an artist who looks like they're working.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Except Jim Lee. He's got way too many lines. Come on, dude. Quit. Just quit, Jim.
Don't rag on Jim.
I know. He'll shut us down.
Well, no, he's a legit talented artist.
No, of course.
He'll never send us the DC previews.
Yeah, he's like, keep talking that trash.
Well, yeah, he was like, I bet later tonight he's going to be like, you know what? Let's send him the previews. And then he's like, oh, here, let's listen to their podcast.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Screw that.
I kind of imagine Jim Lee sitting at the poolside like Luke Perry in that episode of Family Guy. Like, I'm looking at the high school newspaper.
How did we mention Luke Perry twice on this one, man? Holy crap.
It's a Luke Perry kind of day.
The Beauty's got a new arc starting in 2 months.
Nerd news.
If you're not reading The Beauty, it's great. It's going to be, the first trade is going to be one of those $8, $9, whatever,
yeah,
image
the
$9 does.
Yeah,
image, like, they do the first trades for cheap.
Ooh,
that's how they get you.
That's how they get you. It's like crack. It's like a good drug dealer.
Yeah. The first hit is, well, discounted, not free.
teach your children
hey,
to read comics.
I can introduce you to some people.
They'll never have money for drugs.
Dude.
Monstrous is back, and this is the end of the arc.
I want to talk about Manifest Destiny, man. It's going up to number 19. This, to me, is like the little book that could. It's such a stupid concept. It's Lewis and Clark, right?
Yep.
If the West that they were exploring was full of supernatural shit. And it sounds like such a simple, stupid concept.
What are you talking about? It sounds awesome.
It's so good. It's such a good book.
Okay, I'm a guy who was sold on buying a book called Turf because it was advertised as... Prohibition era mobsters versus vampires.
Yes, yes.
Versus aliens.
Yeah.
And I read it, and it was pretty goddamn sweet.
That's awesome. I love that sort of stuff.
Sometimes
man.
Just you got to embrace that the silliness of the concept.
And that's why we read this medium.
All right.
You know, because they're able to do that
check
weird
out
stuff.
That cover.
What
oh,
book
yeah.
is
Circuit
it?
Circuit Breaker.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. That might be an homage to can't both the Copper Tone.
It is. Yeah.
And Astro Boy, because he had butt cannons.
Yes, that is
Astro Boy homage. Astro Boy, yes, has guns, machine guns in his.
Is that out this week?
Well,
Circuit Breaker number 1?
Circuit Breaker number 1 came out last week, I think.
Man, somebody needs to get a hold on that and
yeah,
review that for us.
Yeah, back in the 50s when they made Astro Boy, they made some weird design decisions.
It was different, though. It was a different time.
Yeah, well, like, do you see how he refuels?
Yeah. I don't think we should talk about it,
though.
I love this series, Monstrous, and the end of the arc is
they were just talking about
that. That is a phenomenal book.
That is definitely
It's gotten a lot of lists. It's Eisner mentioned already.
And
you know,
like it's like they had a blurb about it going to like multiple printings pretty quickly.
Yes,
and it's such a wonderful book. The art and the writing is
pound
so
for
great.
Pound.
Speaking of,
well, pound for pound, Valiant is probably the best, but Image is really, really putting
speaking
out.
Of well, homage well, covers our Geek Picks today. is going to be doing a Alice in Wonderland on the cover.
Well, that's Betty. She's always carrying around psychedelic drugs anyway, so it might be a trip that they've done. That she fed them some bad food, and they're tripping out right now.
Legacy of Lucifer. But
our geek picks this week.
Yeah, I made one.
Was dominated by Image and Valiant.
Yes.
There were more Image and Valiant comics picks this week for our geek picks.
It is a very low week.
I was thinking
slow week. No, it's not a slow week for me.
For indie stuff, though, it's definitely showing up.
It is
IDW even with their Transformers anniversary issue.
I had
which we should talk about.
My manga come in of Inuyashiki.
I like manga. I say manga.
This is I like this. This is very good.
Say it manga.
It's by the same author.
You're
as
absolutely
Dance.
Right.
Sunstone Volume
it's
4 came out.
If it's anime instead of anime.
I do. I say anime, and I call it my aunt, my sister's or my mom's sister. I call her my aunt.
Black Magic number 5 came out this week.
Evian. Water is all I drink. No, we talked about that earlier.
What was it?
Sunstone.
Silk.
Sounds like the Cool Whip.
Saga.
Cool Whip. Wayward.
This was a busy week for me.
It's a huge
indie
week.
For me, because I usually pick up my indie books and trade. And even then, not that many, but...
Do you have any copies?
I did get Unbeatable Squirrel Girl today. And it's got a really cool Dark Knight Returns homage on it.
It does. It's very nice.
I don't see it on
between
the corner.
Squirrel Girl and her...
And her grandma.
No, her time-displaced other self.
Name me a character in the Marvel Universe who currently is not time-displaced. Are there any?
Spider-Man?
Walking Bird?
Miles
Morales.
You walked into a trap.
Miles Morales is universe display.
Yeah. True, not time display.
It's close enough. Time, space, they're pretty similar.
Okay, honestly, okay, the Thor. X-Men, and this is just like a, this isn't like a big
We don't
thing.
Know where Odin's son is
Well,
yet,
that's the nice
we?
Thing about Unbeatable Squirrel Girl. This is not some big, major continuity.
Sure.
This is just them doing a gag.
Hey, sure, yeah. No, I'm just talking and smack. This, and that's why they're doing great. It.
I love the cover because it spoofs the Dark Knight Returns.
Oh, does it?
Well, this book in general, you should read this book anyway.
That's
it's
how we started
hilarious.
Off talking about it.
I picked up I got it when they did the new batch number ones because the cover made me laugh. It's only our second number one this year. And I'm like, you know, that's pretty funny.
It's a book that makes fun of itself. It's not taking itself too seriously. Marvel's good at that.
It's very lighthearted and very enthusiastic, which is very appropriate for this character. Again. Appropriate for the character.
Exactly. I'm with you, buddy.
So will we have a rated R?
A couple of customers.
Unlikely. Dude, if we ever get Squirrel Girl at all, I'd be flabbergasted.
A couple of customers were joking earlier about how the unbeatable Squirrel Girl finally loses. And the Red Hawk, Falcon's pet, eats Tippy Toe, and Squirrel Girl loses her powers.
She doesn't get her power from the Squirrel
Girl. What do we think about
this?
Yes,
but now she's full of doubt. Because she lost her best friend.
What do we think about this 4001 AT from Valiant?
I think it's a sign that Valiant does not give a damn. They are going to do whatever their fans want.
They do what they want.
And they know their fans are going to read it because I have never met a Valiant fan online or in person. And I've met a lot of comic book fans online and in person. But I've never met a Valiant fan who wasn't a diehard Valiant.
They do inspire a lot of company diehard. Yes.
That's a good thing. Any company would oh my goodness, pay for that sort of loyalty. Well, and Valiant doesn't. They just love their fans. They really
because,
show appreciation.
I think that's fine because Valiant is, we're praising them, but they're still small scale.
They are.
Comparatively.
They are.
If that type of company loyalty for DC and Marvel, though, is some of the worst shit in comic books.
There's got to be
one of the worst
ground.
Things about comic book readers is unflinching loyalty. So if that was scaled up, we might have to look at that in a different way.
Agreed.
Right, and
agreed.
I would say for all the boxes that have Valiant, a Valiant title on there.
They have more.
They have all. Yeah.
No, there are a few that only read a couple, but...
Posers.
I would say
our diehard fans.
It's like one or two or all Valiant.
Well, I pick up a Valiant book.
Ninjak.
No.
Which one? Time Walker.
Dr. Mirage.
Oh, I can see that. Ivar Time Walker is great.
I get them all eventually in trade.
Ivar.
Yeah, I
get them all.
Like
default,
we have
so.
Probably.
I read Ivar Time Walker.
20
I love, it's good
cool to or so people that subscribe to various
you
Valiant books. And out of that, we have three or four boxes that get everything Valiant.
And nothing else. Get that Batman away from me.
Well, it does seem...
You're Batman.
The Valiant fans are fanatical.
Spider-Man more like Shitter Man.
But I can say something about Valiant. They put good talent on all their books. They have amazing art in every book. There's nothing that's sort of... There's no breaks.
Do you like Iron Man? Do you like Thor? Well, here's them both. It's the same character.
Yeah, right.
You want to find a time-displaced guy with a futuristic battle suit?
Do you know who created Ninjak?
Do you like Daredevil, Batman, and James Bond?
How do you say his name?
Say it again.
No, man, that's not even how it's spelled.
He says Joe Quesadilla. Because he looks like he ate too much.
I've never heard it pronounced
like
till today.
Boba Fett all over again, man.
Joe Quesada.
Joe Quesada?
Quesada.
Quesada?
I like Quesadilla.
It's Joe Quesadilla, you know.
I like Bobby
Bubba
Fett.
Went down.
Bubba Fett. Telling you,
Joe
we still need to make that happen.
It's Bubba
Fett. Joe Quesalupa.
I'll never be able to not call him Joe Quesadilla. That's hilarious.
Hey, better be careful. We might lose our Marvel previews.
He's not the editor-in-chief anymore.
Yeah, he doesn't get a say.
Oh.
He'll just ban me from the movies. I don't like going to the movies anyway.
You're dead.
Well, then you're a fool to go, man.
Apes and Babes, book one, is getting collected. That's a Frank Cho thing. Frank Cho draws some of the best-looking people. Especially large-breasted women. I'm sorry, I have to say it. He does. He does
that
a
is
good
his signature
job
thing.
Of it.
Whatever you want to make of that, that is what he prominently draws.
Yeah, and there's other artists who have done. The dude who did the Spider-Woman one, I mean, he sort of took a break because he's like, well, what did Marvel expect me to
Adam
do?
Adam Hughes draws.
You know? Oh, wait, you mean the dude who did, like, the that Spider- was just, like, that was, he's not, he wasn't, like, the person who drew Spider-Woman. He was just, like, a variant cover.
Yeah. Exactly, but he drew, like,
yes,
that. That was his style.
He draws porn.
Yeah, eroticism.
Yeah.
I prefer erotic. Okay, erotic novels. Okay? Right,
whatever.
Don't disparage... All right, my the things I do in my bedroom with my wife are my business. Dude.
Whatever gets you there, man.
Oh, no, it seems like
whatever gets you there, it's always meant to be negative.
You do you, true, but that is what it is.
No, it's true. I'm just kidding. I'm just busting chops. Nah. Agreed. It's porn.
Classic.
Hey, I've heard it. If you can spank to it, it's porn. Okay.
What is it?
You
that
know, 34? That doesn't limit.
You
much.
Guys should not have let that.
Let's put my genie back.
Yeah, you should not have let that pause.
Yeah. I don't know if putting the genie back in is the best thing to follow up with that.
I don't even know what the fuck you're talking about.
This podcast took a turn for the kinky.
Oh, yeah. It's after dark.
Fireside chat.
After dark. What else is going on, guys? Come on. There's got to be something cool happening that we can talk about.
Oh, Death Race 2050 is going to be made.
What?
Yep.
A new Death Race?
Yep.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong.
Great.
Fast there was, furious. There was
we'll be here all day if we have to correct you when you're wrong.
There was a scene in the original Death Race, the premise of which they took the old people from the nursing home and put them in the middle of the road.
I
and got
so,
points
yeah.
for them.
That sounds yeah, awful.
That's
like
idea,
and then
right.
the doctors and nurses would like hide behind this wall. And there's a scene where this one driver, like the good guy, like cuts a right or whatever, cuts and goes behind the wall.
And
hits the doctors and nurses. Like all the old people are cheering. And then another car just wipes them out.
Yep.
This is the cheesiest movie ever made.
Right.
The doctors and nurses, they literally have mannequins. They're just throwing up behind a wall. And they're redoing this?
No.
Didn't they do a Jason Statham Death Race?
They redid Death Race with Jason Statham.
Oh, and they made Girl Co-Pilots. Was that in the original Girl
Co-Pilots? Then they did like a direct DVD sequel to it. It was like, what's his name?
They did two. They did two sequels to the Jason
Statham. Oh, and it wasn't that Jason Statham wasn't in it.
But what I'm saying is the original director.
Yes.
The original director.
I know what we're talking about now.
He did the original Death Race. He did the Jason Statham one. Now he's doing 2050. He did not have
is somebody coming
to do,
back? Is Jason Statham coming
be,
back?
No.
He could do it.
It's going to be
Jason Statham.
It's 2050.
Oh, so yeah, he'd be really old.
Right.
Need to work on that.
It's going
to
be. It's going to
so,
be.
I'm a bit out
sort
of practice.
Like a sequel.
On historical note, this is one of the earliest video game movies.
Death Race.
Death Race.
Exactly. Yeah. Project Corbin. And it was okay. Bucks. It was okay for what it was.
Exactly.
Yeah.
For what it was.
What so, we can let's stay on movies. What's good in theaters this week?
We can take a different movies.
Okay.
Oscars are this.
Oh, let's talk about Oscars. Do we want to move to the race thing? That's like the biggest news from the Oscars this weekend.
No, because with the race thing,
we're not going to answer any questions.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're not following anything on the Oscars.
Right.
I'm not either.
I don't.
They
already
came out with their own.
I don't. I think that's true.
Award show.
I am. I don't. What's good? I am unaware of the race thing in the Oscars.
There's no minority.
That for the first time in a really long time, there's more than one movie on the Best Picture list that I've actually seen in theaters.
Okay.
That is awesome.
And it's not an art film.
The Martian and Mad Max were both great movies.
Usually my wife and I watch the Oscars just so we can go watch movies that our friends will never watch. Just because we like to be those people.
You're a snob. Yeah. You're a movie snob.
In my own circle, I like to be at the top.
You are just the worst goober.
I am.
You're a spirit of
influence. But I admit it, so that doesn't make me the complete worst.
No.
No. But that puts you there.
There's only one.
So yeah, I'm not interested in the Oscars.
I'm not either. The only thing I wish they would do in the Oscars is, instead of saying the best film is whatever weird film most people have never seen or anything like that.
Popularity should not be their metric.
No. They need to have a new category for the film of the year should always be the most one that made the mess, that made the most money.
Transformers 5.
No. Versus the production cost.
No, that's a bad answer.
Yeah, that's no. There could be awards for that.
Then you would have Blair Witch Project of winning Best Picture of the Year in 1990.
They've already won because they made their fucking money. That's where they're going.
The first Clerks movie.
A new category.
The thing about...
That's not an award. That's financial success. That's not something you get that critics...
Success has its own trophy.
You know what critics are, right?
But no, that's what the Academy Awards are. It's a group of people who have been selected who get to choose. It doesn't matter if you put credit into it or not. That's what's done. You applying that metric changes the entire dynamic. You want to go People's Choice Awards or some shit like that? Yeah, it does.
That category has no place in the type of venue.
But for that one category, it changes the entire dynamic of how they've always selected who wins an Oscar.
The entire point of these artsy-fartsy award ceremonies is not... They aren't singling out which movies were the most successful. They're moving movies.
But the only reason why you have most of the artsy fartsy movies is because of the big movies.
That has nothing to fucking do with it.
Exactly.
I think it does myself.
No, all right.
This is not a greater commentary on how movies are made and why movies are made.
No, but let's say that.
Which ones were the best ones that came out?
Let's hold on a second. Let's say that. Because it's the graphic graphic artists who make the money while the Van Goghs of the world actually make art people want to see. But those motherfuckers, they ain't going to go watch a painting. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Filmmaking is still an art, but it's also a product.
Right.
And they can treat things both ways, and you don't have to mix those together. It doesn't have to be both at the same time. But that's what they want to do. You can be snobbish
in one side to the other.
But
if you go pure art, you have Dolly filming a building for 8 hours.
But that's
or a guy
what they
sleeping.
Are.
I mean, they're not
And if you've got pure, if you go pure pop, you've got Michael Bay blowing up Transformers and selling you beer and My Little Pony for 3 hours.
And that's them selling a product. They're not giving you a product.
I mean, those are the two extremes. Finding a balance in the middle.
The movie I would like to see that's coming up is 10 Cloverfield Lane.
It looks okay.
What the fuck is it even about?
Yeah, I think we don't know yet.
It's Cloverfield. A sequel to Cloverfield.
But they're just like, hanging out in a basement until a monster shows up?
Well, there's a lot of viral marketing behind it because they just uncovered this week.
I saw that.
Somebody
in the trailer,
buried an ammo box.
In the trailer, there was a series of numbers on different shots.
Yes.
Somebody put all these numbers in a row and it turned out to be latitude and longitude. Someone went there, dug... and found a box that viral marketing crap for the movie. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
that's kind of cool. But
geolocation.
Yeah, it was a place.
It was like a cool concept, but as a movie, it wasn't necessarily all that good.
No,
so not necessarily.
But there was a lot of viral marketing behind
it. But it's just like
yeah.
But the thing is, exactly. is that it was kept under wraps so well.
Yes.
Then all of a sudden you're having these previews or trailers for it, and they're like,
and the movie comes out in no time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually am looking forward to it myself.
I mean, I'll see it eventually, but I'm not going to rush out to go see something like that.
No.
I'm more excited for that than I am the Batman Superman movie.
Well, I want to see what they're going
to
do.
I'm excited. Always turn it back to shitting on DC. Always got to turn it back to shitting on DC.
The thing about Batman Superman, they've just made such hype about it. That's why I want to see it. And Larry hates that.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. David doesn't. I don't get a show to too many of these.
They try to make hype, but
there's a lot of hype. There's a lot of hype.
I mean, I really personally try not to get involved in the hype.
Okay, you know what? The fight scene with Batman looked pretty cool.
All the fights that I've seen looked really cool.
Well,
the Zack Snyder knows how to make fights. I will give him that.
I am Scott cringing Snyder. At all that I've seen of Lex Luthor in the movie. Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor. I haven't seen anything that's encouraging.
So I've actually heard the two best parts of the movie is him as Lex Luthor and Ben Affleck's Batman.
Yep.
Those are the two saving graces of the movie. All the reports that I have seen.
Eisenberg, as far as he's been in some crappy movies, but as far as his job in the movies, I've never been disappointed.
He always plays some weird-ass Baz.
Yeah.
And he's got that down. You totally got me on that.
That's what it's like.
Lex Luthor's going to be a weird-ass
Baz.
That's
what
he's
a weird-ass Baz.
I love Zombieland. I'm not down on Jesse Eisenberg.
Yeah.
As
a role, you don't think it's a good fit.
No, he's not in any way, shape, or form.
I don't think it's a good fit either.
The only thing I have a problem with him is he's too young for it.
That's a good point.
Man, those fucking rumors originally that was going to be a Bryan Cranston. Where the fuck did that go? That should have jumped on that.
He's so good.
Oh, that would have been great.
He'd have been so good at that.
But that's the only biggest hit against
him. Did we really move back to Batman Superman again?
Yeah, we did.
See, so what's next?
Where's the hype machine? You guys stop building that hype machine. Larry
come
Hicks.
On, DC.
Oh, Archie's sort of relaunching—not relaunching, but continuing their horror stuff.
I noticed that Back to the Future was doing the same thing.
Yeah, they're gonna. There was originally Back to the Future on IDW was originally a limited, coming out for the anniversary year of the movie.
Gonna be another arc. Two of them, in fact.
No, I heard it's gonna be a continuing, ongoing until.
Well,
otherwise.
They're keeping the numbers. Yeah. But they're also doing a second, doing a mini series.
Oh, fun. The cowboy one.
Marty,
and then, of course, Those are Afterlife with Archie and Sabrina with both originally miniseries.
No. Yes.
And now apparently, it's been like 6 months or something since they... But yeah, in a little while, they'll be re-picking up with another series. And as long as the story's good, I'm fine with that.
Yeah. And it has. They've been selling. It's been celebrated. It's getting good reviews from what I've seen. All of the new Archie books are getting great reviews, even with artists leaving. Is that Mark Waid again?
Mark Waid? Again?
He teaches us so much on Archie.
We got liked by Black Magic.
Don't read it.
The comic?
Yeah.
They're great.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's a good book, Greg Rucka, Nicholas Scott. Buy it for the art, read it for the story, because the story is
now
amazing.
Now that they like us. Great.
Well, we got my review.
How did they like us?
I'm on Facebook.
No, they're I like mean, with what?
Our page.
What kind of emoticon?
Yeah, what kind of like?
Oh, I didn't see.
Have you seen that?
Well,
we
actually have a review around now. I haven't seen the option to do any of that. Am I missing
you it hold on to the like, at least if you're on a desktop or my laptop, you kind of hold on to it or hover over it, and then you get to select. And it's like a love. Or just a normal like, or a wow like, Jeb.
Sad.
Wow.
Oh,
sad.
Yeah, poor Jeb.
Are we gonna go into
have they given us a dislike button?
No, but it is an anger button. There's a like angry. You can like it in an angry way.
Angry and sad, but no dislike.
Hate like it.
Yeah, because now when someone posts like my grandma died, you don't have to like it. You can like sad it.
Well, see, that is a good point.
It is.
I always feel like whenever someone did put something like that, it's like. I don't like that. Don't
like is such
say.
An arbitrary thing on Facebook.
I want to acknowledge.
I lost my job and my dog got ran over. Like.
Yeah.
Like
okay, well,
dude, that's
no longer
grammar.
Friends.
Dude, sometimes there's a post and I'm like, man, he has some good grammar.
Although,
like,
I guess ultimately,
you're freebooting stuff off of YouTube.
For stuff like my grandma died, anything you do on social media does feel kind of inadequate anyway.
It does. So what are you just post a meme?
Yeah, just like
I mean, what are you going to do?
Like a there's no emoticon.
Sorry, why even that?
Here's your link to some cat videos. Hopefully, it cheers you up.
Socially awkward penguin. I usually just don't do anything. Just like, man, I don't feel like I can
but
do anything
that's
appropriate.
Do you sometimes feel worse when you don't acknowledge it, though?
No.
Like, you want to acknowledge their grief.
No, that's the thing. It's like, I wish
let
I could
me,
see
let
them
me
in
call
person.
Them. Let me
no.
give them a call. I just don't know.
No, you don't
want
to do that either. Just, I don't know how to react.
I'm the same
because
way.
Because anything I do on social media feels inadequate, but I...
So like, from here on out, keep your business to your damn self and don't post on social
but
media.
But honestly, if you were really that close
to... making
store,
Taylor uncomfortable.
Would you be finding out via social media?
That's a good point. If it was true. Someone who I would feel comfortable calling on the phone or talking to in person...
That's a good
I probably would have already known it.
That's a good logical point.
I have 2,000 friends on Facebook, and I don't know any of their phone numbers.
That's a good logical point, Larry.
Well, who knows phone numbers
Larry's
anymore?
Keeping us all down.
I don't know, but I'm old school.
My phone
is on my phone numbers.
God gave us phones that can remember the numbers for us, and they took our ability away to remember phone numbers.
That is true. The only phone numbers I still remember are my parents and my grandma's.
Because it's lodged in
there.
Yeah,
because I knew those when I was a young child.
Yes. Yeah. The numbers from before I have a cell phone are still there.
Yeah.
Damn, you guys are old.
Yes.
Tell us about drive-in movie theaters, guys.
I guess after the podcast, Gomer's going to be like, you know, putting on his poodle skirt and headed to the sock hop.
No.
Drive-in
movie
theater. I bet Gomer has a poodle skirt.
I want to be surprised. I want to be at all surprised.
Oh, Dan Perella is relaunching.
There is a poodle skirt at
Dan Perella?
Dan Perella is relaunching.
I'm aware of the character, but I've never even seen a comic.
Well, Vampirella was carried, and it's been going on for a long time.
Vampirella is a sexed up vampire.
Yeah, I know.
She's a vampire alien from the planet Dracoon,
and they're toning her down a little bit.
Really?
Yes.
They're giving her more to wear. A little more realistic, a little less...
A little bit PC.
A little less grim fairy tales cover art worthy.
I'm all for having, you know, better depictions of women in comics.
The One Piece swimsuit.
Why not just make an all-new character? Because that's probably the better way to go.
Oh, man, I keep hearing that.
Because you haven't ever heard of one...
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I guess I haven't heard of
She
Dracula.
Oh, She Dracula? Let me get that looks very conservative.
Actually, no, I'm just making up a stupid name. Fuck,
that
I
looks
that,
quite
sure.
conservative. Let me
well,
get
yeah,
that. She's
they
fully clothed.
They're relaunching her, so that always creates a new job. They're going for a new market.
Yeah.
So
that's exactly right.
It definitely helps to create a new jumping on.
Yeah, it was a stunning review on Outright Geekery for it from one of our regular writers, Amani Cooper, who is... I don't want to pigeonhole her as anything, but she is very... prolific with feminism and that sort of thing. She and we all should be, you know, we all should be for women to be empowered and things like that. It's okay, you know.
I feel like, yeah.
But she gave it a very high review, a very high mark. Okay. So yeah,
okay.
Yeah. And she loves that shit, man. She loves reading those kind of books.
Oh yeah,
she's quick on it too. Bitch Planet, please.
We do totally.
Loves,
yeah,
she's
more,
great at reviewing.
We do totally need she's, more empowering
she got,
female characters.
Agreed. Agreed. And she's got a good insight on it. You know, she's
Warriors
really good
Volume
review.
2.
Talk about empowered females.
Like, every podcast I'm here for, Warrior seems to come.
It is such
because you haven't came for a podcast, but once
such
a
year.
The last podcast I was on, that we had Warrior.
It is such a well-drawn book, Ashley.
So it's
Witter.
Mouse Guard with squirrels. Right?
It is Ashley Witter, right? It's more than squirrels, dude. There's cats and gerbils and ferrets.
Yeah.
And
I
mice.
Feel like this is an odd thing to sell me on.
It's so good. The
and
art.
One of them
it's
is
Ashley
Dane.
Witter, right?
Yes.
She is so good, dude.
It's humans are gone, but all the animals are there.
Okay, so it's like close to apocalypse.
But it's brutal. Like right. There's a cat on like the first issue,
so
bites like one of the mice's heads.
But all the animals have gotten a little more intelligent. But very much post apocalypse, they're tribal, they're
what was that movie, Secret of Nim or something?
Oh yeah, it's a much better book.
Secrets of Nim.
It's called based on a book called Mrs. Frisbee and the Rats of Nim, which was one of my favorites as a kid.
This
I read it over
and over. This description does
over.
Remind me of that, in that it's got cute animals.
There's like a very
but
old,
fucking dark.
There's like a very old cartoon where they kind of have something similar like that. Where
no, there is a cartoon called The Secret of NIMH.
The Secret of NIMH. No, but there's something that predates The Secret of NIMH.
Oh, perhaps.
It's like...
Oh, you're talking about like
1940s kind of deal.
Oh, what, the thing Ralph Bocci made? What's it?
Ralph Macchio?
Ralph Bocci, you're thinking lizards?
No, this predates...
Or Fritz the Cat.
Fritz the Cat is what I was thinking.
It's not Fritz the Cat, but it predates... It's like maybe 1940s, 1950s.
It has like a very war...
I said his fucking name right, you asshole.
A very World War II feel to it. Where the last humans killed themselves in a war, and the animals, when they emerged from the aftermath, basically were able to study, like, one of them was like, you know, they looked at the Bible and they're like,
looking I don't at it, remember like, that.
It's a very old
It sounds
cartoon.
Old.
But it had, like, you know, anthropomorphic mice.
See, I'm a young guy, so I didn't read a lot of this.
You're
no
not that young. You're older than me.
Old man Gomer over here.
Can we? You want to talk about Old Man Logan for a hot second?
Has the second issue of that come out yet?
I don't know. I didn't like the first issue. I wasn't a fan.
I think I may have missed it. I'll have to look for that.
I wasn't a fan of the first issue.
I liked it.
That's the all new
book. As much as I like to say that books should be separate and they shouldn't be hinging on one another, it upsets me that the Old Man Logan in Old Man Logan doesn't feel like the Logan in Extraordinary X-Men.
I haven't been reading Extraordinary X-Men, so maybe that's why I don't care. But
you know, you complain about
that. I know.
You complain about that, but then we were just talking earlier about
honestly,
how the Vision
the only thing
I know.
Is totally okay.
It's different with Wolverine.
I do have a bit of a problem with the premise of that. I think that Old Man Logan was fine as a self-contained thing. We don't need a spin-off of it, but...
I don't know. Logan on the Extraordinary X-Men.
I like Jeff Lemire, and I like the artwork.
Oh, sure.
And
sure.
After having only read one issue of it so far,
yeah.
I feel like it certainly earned a first arc read.
He goes to the Hulk in the second one,
yeah.
I think. But it's not Banner,
I like the Old Man Logan book. I think it needs
totally
to
awesome.
Move away from the story that it's on.
The Vendetta story.
Yeah, sooner rather than later.
And it's a twisted Vendetta story that's almost like Memento. It hadn't happened yet.
Yeah.
It's not like Memento.
It's got weird twist to it.
It's an interesting
that
story.
That makes it like Memento?
It's a weird out-of-time sort of... he's twisted...
What time travel
it's a twisted vengeance
travel, yeah.
story.
Yeah,
but...
And he is out of time.
Yeah.
Man, the memory loss thing was like over halfway through the issue. The similarities end at that point.
It's a twisted vengeance story with a man
again,
out of time.
That hardly makes a copy of Memento.
Regardless of the Memento thing.
I know, this guy gets hung up on one comparison. It was a single comparison.
It's an odd comparison.
No, I don't think so. Because it is a twisted revenge story where the main guy is trying to do something, reach a goal that doesn't make any sense. The goal doesn't make any sense.
Murder people? Yeah,
exactly.
Kind
of no, the overall goal doesn't make
okay,
any
whether
sense.
Okay, whether you agree with murdering random people, sometimes it makes sense.
He's trying to
yeah.
murder the people who ruined the future he came from.
Yes. Who will ruin a future.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah,
it reminds me more of a Looper than
future
that may or,
okay. Looper
may, or may not
happen.
That may or may not happen.
It might
exactly.
be
that is the key there.
Yeah, maybe
it is an interesting
yes.
concept.
He's holding people who in their past selves accountable for their future selves.
Actions.
Is he
well?
Is justified? I don't think so, but I can understand why he would think so.
It
his
is an
motivation makes sense to him,
and
I can understand why he's doing the things he's
doing. My problem with the Vendetta storyline, though, is that he's just going to use it as a chance to hop from location to location to fight some guy for an issue, and then just leave.
And if you're going
to
start with
one of my
Mysterio.
Favorite, they need to
you
move,
start
they
with mean, Mysterio.
Yeah, they
yeah,
need
you
to move away from
Mysterio.
That.
Well, you
Man
know,
Logan's
one
involved.
Of my more well-liked story arcs that's kind of under the radar from the last few years was I think his name was Hardman did a run on Red Hulk where that was all they were doing. It's just having him like they took all the shitty fights from Jeff Loeb's run and
oh, that must have been a while.
Had them do
yeah.
it's been like 3 or 4 years.
Okay,
maybe.
Okay.
And they had him rematch against Iron Man and rematch against Thor.
Really?
No, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I didn't read that.
I enjoyed the shit out of it.
Wow.
Great.
I've never enjoyed Red Hulk. I've tried, yeah. but
it was
maybe
a
on
hard
a team. He was on a team
good.
For a little while.
Well,
it was
on Thunderbolts. Thunderbolts.
They should have had him on Thunderbolts back when it was like the criminal. Or like,
well,
yeah.
no,
was it like the chain gang version?
He,
yeah.
took over
he did, but they changed what it was. It became
right.
X-Force.
Yeah. yeah okay. Well, my problem with Old Man Logan and Extraordinary X-Men is they never, besides Bobby making some old man jokes every now and again, he's not really old man.
It's the same old
Wolverine. He's just Wolverine.
All Old Man Logan's ever been was just an excuse to have Wolverine on the team without actually having Wolverine on the team.
Well, the original Old Man Logan.
To keep him dead so it doesn't look like they're backtracking and bringing
the original Old Man Logan. Yeah, the Old Man
Logan you're going to be happy with. Is the Old Man Logan going to get his prostate checked? Oh, that's a direct comparison.
They even acknowledge it in that
story. Or taking Geritol or shit. That's what you want.
Like, the like Hulk's grandkids write up in the Fantastic card, the remains of it, and they have things on it like Dead and Forgotten. And one of them was Unforgiven, which I'm pretty sure was a direct shout out to the source material.
There. Yeah. But I just don't like it. It seems unnecessary to me to have this Old Man Logan.
Maybe.
Because the appeal of the Old Man Logan story was that universe.
In the grander context of things, yes, there's some problems with it, but I'm enjoying it for what it is.
Oh, sure, sure. And the art's amazing.
Again, I've only read the one issue.
Did you like or not like the homage to The Dark Knight Returns in the first issue?
Yeah, it was fine.
It was okay.
It was okay.
It was all right.
I mean, I'm never necessarily, like, against Dark Knight Returns homages. Like, I was just talking
exactly.
Earlier. That's a great cover.
Yeah, that's a cool cover. Yeah.
That's the Squirrel Girl cover, just in case.
Yeah, the Squirrel Girl.
Oh, yeah, in case you can't see us.
Yeah.
Theater of the Mind.
What else are we talking about, guys?
It is about that time.
Oh, well, do it.
Like an hour and a half.
Is it 8:30?
Yeah.
Jeez, guys, we're going to have to start cutting these shorter.
You're the one who wouldn't let anybody get a word in edgewise.
I don't think that was
as always, it's Gomer's.
Actually, you know, as tradition dictates, we'll blame it on Jules because he is not here. Who did come in earlier and say he didn't like the Deadpool movie. Please tell him all about why you love it and why he's wrong for...
I love Deadpool. It was genuinely funny, a great adaptation of the character, and it was just a good story. It was well
This is going to be Jules' Blade Runner. That's what it's going to be.
Okay, sure.
Yeah. So I expect you all to give him crap about that.
I probably have one. I'm not sure what it is off my head.
Final thoughts.
All right. Well, it's good to be back for at least one podcast.
You got a vacation.
Yeah. I got like a long vacation. I'm like having a 5-day weekend because tomorrow is my birthday. And I decided
happy
to go
birthday.
Out with you guys.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
We could sing the happy birthday song and not get in trouble.
Let's do it afterwards.
It's in the public domain. Well, we wouldn't get in trouble if we sang it after.
But my final thought is, it wouldn't be recorded. Stay tuned to Outright Geekery. We're bringing back some podcasts. I'm taking the helm on the Outright Gaming. Second edition.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Hopefully, we can get more than one game.
I hope so.
Well, my philosophy will be to get quick games that everybody can pick up.
And I enjoyed playing Pathfinder, like an hour.
But there's a lot.
It was too hard to get everybody together.
So the first episode is probably going to be recorded probably next month sometime. There's a couple things I got to take care of for the end of this month. But right now the plan is it's just one podcast a month where we play a game.
Fun.
First podcast is going to be Super Fight.
So these are going to be sort of like tutorial run-throughs of the game. You're going to sort of do it like that?
Possibly.
I think that, you know, at least got to give somebody something, you know.
Early on. Yeah. Early on, but we're going to do Super Fight. Then we're going to try to get games that we can, you know, quick pick up.
Cool.
Play. Maybe get an hour
some
game.
Things like Exploding Kitten, I think you mentioned.
Exploding Kitten.
Fun.
Cards. But those are further down the line.
Okay.
I can't wait.
I love that. Couple of final thoughts. I do hope that Leo DiCaprio wins an Oscar this Sunday just because he will literally kill himself for his next role if he doesn't win it for this one.
He almost did for the last one.
That's what I'm saying.
Revenant,
He tries to push the envelope any further with these sleeping in the carcasses.
I mean, Wolf of Wall Street, look at all those drugs he took.
Yeah. Classic Leo. Oh, another final thought, though. I got the new Fire Emblem game recently.
Fire Emblem's always
turn-based.
Fire Emblem's great.
Turn-based strategy, right?
Yeah.
At its best.
It's like Advanced Wars, but for men.
Yes!
Well, like, the units die permanently, and, although they did relax a few things, there are no longer weapon use limits.
Okay.
That kind of adds things up a bit. And, and they changed around, like, the pairing and things like that.
They changed that around.
The only thing I do have to complain about so far is they did kind of force in the, like, you know how in Awakening, like, the characters, if you got them married, they would have a kid who, like, traveled from the future. Mm-hmm. They have forced that back in when it's not really appropriate for the story.
Oh, they still have time travel stuff in there?
No, they have other dimensional, like, shenanigans. It was forced in just so they could have a just popular like feature from the last game.
Just like Marvel.
That comics. Seems like the game was directed by J.J. Abrams.
That being said, you don't play Fire Emblem for the story anyway.
No, I always play.
Exactly.
I enjoy the story, but it's not like the villains are always cartoonishly evil. The good guys are always like the goodest good guys to ever good.
Dude, you play it for fun.
The goodest good guys action. Ever good.
Oh, I fucking love the games.
I love that.
It's not a knock, but
yeah. For action.
There's not a lot of meat to them stories. Let's just
moving on.
My final thought is I'm looking forward to season 2 of Daredevil.
Oh, yeah, that
is coming up very soon.
Yeah.
So
very, very soon.
That is mine. And Bridget, don't forget the cheese.
I think it's a lot. I think it's a lot of Marvel.
Yep.
We're getting a whole lot of Marvel on the TV.
That's a good thing.
A whole lot of Marvel everywhere.
We are. I'm just saying, it's a lot of Marvel.
Jason Carter has its season finale next week.
And yeah, and they're getting another show though, aren't they? Mockingbird at the lead.
Yeah, they're doing Mockingbird and Shield's still going. This might be the last season of Agent Carter.
It is.
I know she's
already got. Yeah, she's signed on to another show.
Honestly, it's the one I've enjoyed the most out of the.
I think they've
out of the two that come on ABC.
I think that's a good sign. They've come to a logical end. They're not going to stretch it out just for the sake of stretching it out.
Yeah.
End it on a high note, end it good.
You know what? I often
they got out of what they needed.
I often complain about good shows outliving their own quality.
You do.
So maybe
you are
a
whiner about that.
Fuck you.
I gotta catch up on Agent Marvel.
I need to catch up on Agent Marvel. Dude, that would be a great comic
Agent
book. I would read that. Agent Marvel.
Hey,
who is it?
Who knows? Some new guy, maybe.
So is it like...
I don't know.
Novar resurrected is like a...
Dude, who knows?
Like a gumshoe or something.
I think Jason Aaron needs to write it.
There you go.
And Mahmoud Asrar needs to draw.
Oh.
Really, any comic book concept you can come up with, Jason Aaron should write it. It's not necessarily a bad idea.
Yeah.
Adam?
Adam's got a final thought.
Transformers, issue number 50
that
comes out this week.
That was going to be my final thought.
Well, fuck you.
We got an F you out of Adam this week.
Well, I thought Trevor was... I mean, Trevor.
Trevor! Trevor!
fuck you.
But yeah, Transformers number 50 comes out this week. This book has been way better than it ever deserves to be.
50 issues of awesome.
50 issues of awesome.
It's amazing.
That's a fat issue, too.
It is.
It's $8.
That's a
mini
graphic
book.
$8 book, but
$8.
It is worth.
The cover is very nice.
That is like
no
that is like a small,
no
small
ads?
trade.
Yeah. Right, I mean,
it's like the
how many pages?
Trade.
I have no idea.
It's 57 pages, no ads.
No ads.
I read it today on a PDF, so I knew how many.
So, like, 80, 90 pages with ads?
Not 57, because there were, like, three variant covers on there. So, 52, maybe? 53? No
I mean, really, with the no ads,
never
you are
ads.
Actually paying.
There's never any ads in IDW book, except for the end. Advertisements for other IDW books.
Well, that's, yeah.
Most indies do that, man. Marvel and DC are the only ones that are really ad-heavy.
Yeah.
But they're paying the best talent.
Are they?
Yeah.
Is DC paying the best talent?
Marvel is paying the best
talent. Marvel's paying the best talent.
DC has big names.
But
I can go into
the
DC section and lift off
I would
names.
Rather read this book
Me
than
too.
Any book
Me
coming
too.
Out on DC
Me
right
too.
Now.
Easily, hands down. It's not even an argument. I would read the other one over any other DC book. The
yeah.
other Transformers
I would read
book.
The other Transformers book
Robots
over,
in
most,
Disguise.
Over most Marvel books.
It
also.
Always
it's
goes back
so,
to shitting on DC.
It's so good. All right, I am not going to shit on DC. I have a new final thought. They're killing it on TV. Arrow, everybody knows, is awesome. Flash is so amazing.
Good.
Jay Garrick, Zoom, Shark,
King Shark.
King Shark, are you kidding me?
Yeah,
Grodd, they don't care. Here you go.
They managed to work King Shark in, and
this
while
week's
it looks
episode
stupid,
King Shark.
It apparently
yes.
hasn't been implemented stupidly. So
yeah, it looks stupid, but they're making it cool.
Legends of Tomorrow. And now there's a Supergirl Flash crossover.
What is happening?
They're killing it on TV.
And they're animated.
Their animated stuff is awesome.
Everything they do that moves is awesome.
Batman
their
Bad
pictures
Blood.
That don't move,
Bad Crap. Blood was good.
Yeah, Bad Blood was
surprised.
So good.
I was surprised by Bad Blood.
No, isn't Robin versus Batman coming up?
Yep. No, that already came out.
Oh, that is? What's the next one? That's right. What's the next one?
I actually like Robin versus Batman more than
I did. I like that, too.
Like a Justice League versus Teen Titans coming up?
Yes, that's it. That's the one. I knew it was versus. But, oh, dude, that looks so neat. I don't know. Just the footage they had.
The Justice League movies haven't been that
great. The footage they had of that, you could see that the Teen Titans were working together in the fight scene that they had against the Justice League. So good. So good. Well, go ahead, Larry. Your final thought, buddy. Hey, did y'all hear me not crapping on DC? Did y'all hear me putting DC on a pedestal?
Did he even mention Supergirl's doing so well?
He mentioned the crossover, but yeah. Yeah.
You know.
fuck you.
Went saw the Daredevil movie. I saw a Warcraft.
The Daredevil movie?
Deadpool movie.
Yeah. Oh, the Warcraft. World of Warcraft.
World of Warcraft.
It looks great.
The movie. It could be good. Cool. Could be crap. I don't know.
I honestly think it looks forgettable.
I think what you have to do is the thing about Warcraft. Blizzard has created a really awesome backstory to that whole thing. Sure, it's deep. If they can pull that out and just make it cool, it doesn't have to be Warcraft. It can just ogres. Okay, there's ogres. Oh, there's some trolls. Okay, there's some trolls. Okay, we know what these are. We got this. Let's do it. It wouldn't even have to be called Warcraft. Honestly, but I think half of the work is already done.
The only thing I really even remember about the trailer is that the orc had like piercings on his teeth.
I think I think the special effects are going to get in the way of that movie.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I think.
It's possible.
It's already going to be a...
Well, they said that about Avatar.
Well, you do know the lead actor is from Vikings, right?
Yes.
So, he's a very good actor. At least
And
in
he's
that...
good with the sword fighting and yes, stuff, and the battles, so. And the wars, and the
right.
craft.
But on that note, since Larry brought up World of Warcraft, they are talking the Dungeons & Dragons movie coming back out.
Now, I learned the Dungeons & Dragons.
They're going to aim for a Guardians of the Galaxy vibe set in the Tolkien universe.
Meets Tolkien. I will watch that all day if they pull that off.
They pull it off.
It cannot be worse than the old.
You know, you should give that a second look.
You know, it's I actually enjoyed the first Dungeons and Dragons movie.
Yes.
But it's still terrible.
But I enjoy bad movies.
I love
that. The one with Christina Ricci, I thought it was a really good bad movie.
And the Wayans guy, the Wayans brother.
It was so bad that it's great to watch.
It is.
Oh my god, it was.
You should definitely give it a second try.
Watch it to
Thor Burst. Not the very first one.
But I like Troll 2 for that. It's become something different because
it's so bad that it's fun to watch, like Birdemic or something like that.
They're coming for me.
You've got to throw them into a tub of something, like fire or electricity.
Acid works.
Ernest scared electricity. Ernest scared stupid. I got some meat for you.
Oh. I didn't even make it to the Star Trek ship of the week.
Okay, we have gone.
We started off podcast with the Star Trek.
This is like a 2-hour podcast already.
No,
it is.
It's one more hour.
Yeah. One more hour. Does anybody listen to this?
Hey, we're on hour 2.
Not anymore.
Piece of the square table.
Hey, if you listen to it,
I don't know. There is no new
show. Give us a comment.
No, give us a wow. I want to get a wow from someone.
All right.
We're going to get all tear faced.
Wrap it up, man. Wrap it. Thanks for listening.
Anger and tears.
We are wrapping up. I'll make a deal. Anybody in that is not in the store right now that listens to this podcast, first person to come in and tell me that they actually listened to the end of it, I'll give you a free comic book.
A trade?
But you have to say the phrase that pays, which is good night, Elaine.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Now she's a phrase that pays. Julie's not going to like that at all.
Now,
Taylor.
Okay,
Elaine out of it, man.
Jules doesn't listen to the podcast.
If you're part of the Outright Geekery crew, Jules, you're not allowed in this contest because you should be here.
Yeah.
All right,
besides,
other than that,
you should always work.
All right, I'm leaving.
$5 limit.
It's gonna be after 9. I'm gonna have to call in again.
You can come see us in Madison, Tennessee at Comic City 2. Or find us online at ComicCity2.com or Facebook.com/ComicCity2. Check out our blog at OutrightGeekery.com.
It's more of a website now, but okay. Blogs are so like 2011.
Oh God, Gomer!
You're such a shit today.
I am. I love it.
Oh man!
Optimus Prime!
You just like became a 12-year-old girl right there. Not 13-year-old.
It wasn't
girl.
Just then. It has been that way for a while.
That's where the poodle skirt comes in.
All right, thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah, check us out online. Let us know. We love to hear that people are actually paying attention to this stuff.
Even call the store if you have to, if you're out of state.
No, because what do you
mean? No, you gotta come in.
Talking about just to say they like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, send fan mail. The only fan mail we've ever gotten is from Redshirt Steve, and he's here now, so what the hell?
Right, right. No one really fan mail. It's like
X. It was like, hey, how are you guys doing now?
Yeah, wishing
yeah.
I was here. What are you talking about?
Good night, everybody.
All right, yeah, I gotta go. It's so late. Bye, everybody.
Later, go.
Bye, Taylor. Bye.